Hey, hey, welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. So glad to have you with us today. You can learn more on our website, fairmountfriends.church, or find our church app on Tithely. Let's go. It's fun to see a few different faces here this morning. Doug and Holly Harold in the house. It's been a whole lot going on in life, huh? Grateful we get to worship with you here. Nancy and Judy Miller, always good to see your smiles. If I haven't seen your face before, or if it's a new face, we do want to make sure that we get a gift goodie bag to you. There will be somebody there at the back to hand those out. So if that is something that you'd be interested in, would love to greet you, shake your hand after service. Three things we're going to talk about today. Moses, weasels, and seeds. Yes, Jared, I agree. What in the world? Where are we headed today? So I want to do a quick mental exercise. Just snap reactionary thoughts just in your own head. I'm not going to make you talk to a neighbor today, maybe. But three things. What are three things that God has done for you when you did not see a way forward? So maybe you just had a moment in time or a moment in life where you just had this burst of faith. Or maybe it was you just worked through this season. It was just tough and it was hard, but you worked through it and God was faithful through that time. Maybe there was these periods where you just took a risk and you were willing to be open to disappointment, and yet there was something that God wanted to work in and through you in that time. Or maybe God just did the impossible. There was breakthrough, there was miracle, there was just something that took place. What are three things God has done for you when you did not see a way forward? And many times, it seems, the way forward is the presence of divine strength that leads you, sometimes tearfully, sometimes tentatively, through the tragedy and the heartbreak. So we're going to be in Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 34 and Leviticus 11 today. We'll have scriptures up on the wall as well, but if you'd like to follow along, that's where we will be at. And so the mantra that I want us to walk away with today is stemming from our series that we've been walking through with Do the New You, inspired by a book by Stephen Furtick. And there's six different mindsets that he encourages us to live with based in scripture that are then applicable and how we often tend to live and the ways that God would desire for us to live. And so this one today is, with God there is always a way, and by faith I will find it. Does it always feel like there is always a way? Do we always feel inspired, or we're always motivated to believe that God is going to come through in every moment? I see a face from Jane saying, I'm not sure about that one. Maybe. But that's why the second part is there. By faith, I will find it. The faith that is given to us by Jesus. So what mantras tend to run through your mind? What are those different phrases or quips? Maybe it's lyrics from a song. Maybe it's a poem that you tend to refer to. What mantras run through your mind? Jessica revealed to me when we got together that my family sang a lot. And I never thought of my family as a musical family. I don't know if any of us can carry a tune. My sisters dabble in the piano. I was 33rd chair out of 32 clarinets in my junior high. I was that bad. I didn't go home and practice, but maybe it's songs like from Foreigner. Like growing up, we would listen to Foreigner. A couple heads popped up with that one. Jukebox Hero. Anybody a big fan of that? We played that at our wedding. My mom handed out juice boxes at our wedding reception because as kids we would sing Juice Box Hero. And so she handed out high C juice boxes on the dance floor. Maybe it was Cold as Ice, or maybe it was We Will Rock You by Queen. We did do quite a few musicals my sisters were in, so Sound of Music, Mary Poppins, Wizard of Oz, The King and I. Maybe a little more recent, but not too recent. Magic by B.O.B. Hi, I'm Bob. Just the Way You Are, Bruno Mars. Skater Boy by Avril Lavigne. Bring Me to Life by Evanescence. And we're hitting a whole gamut here. I had a longer list, but we'll cut it there. But what mantras run through your mind? And maybe it's magic. Maybe it's Jukebox Hero. But many times what it tends to be, we get a pretty clear idea, or at least we think, of what we can and can't do. Maybe you have a summary in your head of what you're good at and what you're terrible at. Maybe it's what you like and what you don't like. Most of us write mental summaries of ourselves from the time we're in middle school. I'm shy. I'm not good at reading. Speaking on a microphone, I could never do that. I am terrible at sports. I can't make friends. What's that mantra for you? What's that go-to detractive, destructive phrase that tends to come to mind? Maybe it's something a spouse said, or maybe it's something dad said, right? But what's that mantra we tend to live with? What stories have you told yourself or have been told to you about your abilities or your current situation? What have you assumed to be true and final about your circumstances? And I'm not just talking about a career or career changes, but about any situation where we just can't see a way forward. Anybody ever been there? I don't know what my next step is. Maybe I've got a vision for what's way ahead, but I don't know how to get there. Maybe I can't even do that. I'm so locked in. It's so dark. I don't know how to even take that next step. I just feel stuck. And when we're stuck, we can feel like we're finished. And so maybe we start to wonder, I'm just going to settle for, this is going to be my life, and I've had dreams, or I've had things that I thought God was going to do, or maybe it's just things, I don't even know where it came from, but I just always thought that would be neat, right, to be that rock star, or to be that football player, or to be that accountant, or to be that coach, right, to be that person who can rally people and inspire people. But when we get into this wondering if we're finished, wondering can turn into wandering through life. And when we're wandering through life, often that can lead us into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, we're alone. Or we can feel that way. Discouragement, disappointment come, and we feel like there's no way forward. We can resign ourselves to our current state. My story's just over. This is it, and I'm just going to play this out for the rest of my life. Or maybe sometimes it's not even that depth or that one train of thought. Maybe it's just paralysis by paper cuts. Just nicks and twists and pokes and prods. I'm just torn apart. I'm just shredded because of paralysis. And so transition that. What if? Do you ever ask that question? Just what if? My son Warren just started asking the question, why? And that's been a lot of fun. And so we turned to our daughter, Kaylin, and we said, Kaylin, where do you think he learned that word from? And she says, from me. Yes, daughter. Yes, he did. But his is always, it's been like a soft, like, why? Like, it's not really a question. He's just experimenting. Why? But what if we were to experiment and say, what if? What if? What if I don't settle for those old definitions, those old limitations, those old labels that we tend to live with, and we were to put on that new self that we have talked about? And with God, there is always a way, and by faith, I will find it. I came to faith in Jesus at summer camp up at Quaker Haven, and just this past Friday, I met with a gentleman who was pastor of a friend's church up in Battle Creek, Michigan. That's kind of a cool town name. Not as cool as Fairmount, but we are the place where cool came from anyway. Well, we were having lunch. We met at this restaurant. It was kind of after the lunch hour, and we thought, well, that'll be a neat spot. We'll get a little something to eat. It'll be a quieter setting, a quieter atmosphere. Just make plans to be able to meet with somebody, have quality conversation. It's Friday. It's summer. An entire Baptist camp church youth group, kids came in, and it went from a great nice, quiet conversation to, I can't hear you because they're having so much fun and they're filling out the surveys to get the free scoop of custard. But we went from having a good conversation to a quite gripping conversation about church growth, about church leadership. How do we do this thing? What does that look like? How do we walk that out in faith with God? As a boy, and even now, I fight this, but my tendency is to be shy. I'm quiet. I'm careful. I tend to keep to myself. And I would wrap that all up into one word and just say I was fearful. And I still am. Fear is the number one driver in my life, and I don't like it. And instead of just sitting in that, when I came to faith in Jesus, we said, what if? And so I what if'd into being involved with a group called Youth Cabinet. This was a youth leadership, I didn't know what I was getting myself into, being up in front of people on a regular basis type of experience. And so we would travel around to different churches and different meetings in our association. And so we would lead worship services. And so that would look like, you know, maybe somebody spoke, but it was more likely that we led some songs, maybe we did some sort of drama skit performance, or we did some sort of scripture jam is what we called it. So we would read these different scriptures and we would move around in very strategic ways, and it probably didn't look that cool, but we felt like it was something that was drawing attention. And I know for me, my comfortable and yet misleading old definitions, limitations, and labels scream out at me, don't leave us. This is what you know. This is where you're familiar. This is what you are able to live out. We know that this works. Even if you're unhappy or you're afraid, at least you're alive. And maybe fear isn't your best friend, but it does save you several times in life. And it helps me, and this was something I heard just this last week, is would you with me take your hand and put it over your heart and sit still for a moment. Do you feel that? If you don't, we'll call 911. But if you do, now keeping your hand there, take a breath. One more. All right, that's your health check for today. But as long as your heart is beating, as long as your heart is beating and your air is filling your lungs, you are not finished, and if you're willing, you can move forward. Okay, so does that look like reinventing oneself? Does that look like changing myself? Does that mean betraying what I have been or who I have become or what my family raised me to be? And it can feel like that sometimes. What if instead of it being a reinvention, in God's view, it's just a continuation. He's continuing the work he has been doing in and through you, and he wants to continue that. And it can feel uncomfortable. It can feel like I'm giving up on what has gotten me to now. I can feel like I'm abandoning the lessons that I have learned. And instead of focusing on maybe that lack or that limitation, to say, God, I want to be somebody different. I want to be somebody new. And so can I catch myself? And if I know I'm going into a situation where that person, I know that I get fired up at that person and they tick me off, we know usually when those meetings are coming, I'm going to handle that person differently this time. And maybe that means the first time we just don't say anything at all. We got to bite that tongue literally and not let anything else come out of our mouth. So what do we do now? If I feel like I'm finished or feel like I'm stuck or I feel like I just don't know even what to do, or I've tried to go to God, I had this moment experience here and yet I didn't come forward, or I didn't feel like there was something happening in the room, why did they make the song go another time around? And then we still did the two hymns and then we had a longer quiet time, right? We can get locked in this, like, I don't even know what God's doing. I'm only here because of my spouse or my kid, or, right? Whatever different reason, whatever the different mantra, the reality is you can experience and feel those things, and we're going to get to oftentimes that just is a space of mourning, and we haven't been able to move on from that time of mourning, and we've just sat in those feelings. We'll get more to that in a moment. And it can be tough when the doom loop of discouragement or self-rejection, right? We can live in this space where I'm just going to continue to live life. This is what I know. I'm going to continue to do it this way. I'm going to come in and I'm just really frustrated. I'm really discouraged, or there hasn't been breakthrough. God, I've been praying to you and there just isn't something happening. There is no change. God, what is it am I supposed to do that's different? I'm trying to read and I don't even know what it's saying. There's Midianites and there's these laws, and God, where is the law fit in? And where, okay, is the earth young or is it old? Is it 6,000 years or is it millions? And we get into all these lost conversations. And is it helpful maybe just to remember that I've got today, I've got this breath, and to remember that with God there is always a way, and by faith I will find it. So would you allow your faith to rise up again? There was somebody recently I had a conversation with, and they were talking about how there was a period in time where they just felt so much in life so deeply, whether it was the amazing highs or the depths of lows. They just had this swing of emotion all the time, and it was just difficult. It just was debilitating sometimes. And so she said, God, do I have to feel all these things all the time? Maybe not quite so much. And then she said the next phase of her life was full of the most stone-faced depression, no feeling whatsoever at all. And she said that was kind of nice for like a day. So she went back to God. God, I was wrong. God, I want to feel at least a little something, right? God, I didn't even know what I was asking for when I talked to you. And might it be that God wants to work in a different way than we thought, as we attested to already? Maybe God does it differently or in a different timing than we would prefer, and yet can we trust that he has possibilities in store that we could live with? And so sometimes what we do when we get into those doom loops, right, of self-rejection is we get stuck in the past. And we get stuck in, man, I can't get rid of that dumb thing I said yesterday in that meeting. That moment last night when I snapped at my wife. That comment someone posted online, and I just can't stop rereading it. What we can do is decide to get up and get going. Because what Scripture and what Jesus tells us is that what lies within you is the power to reset, to shift, to walk towards a better future. So maybe you're setting a scene, and maybe you woke up early, whether you liked it or not. You woke up and you made this amazing breakfast. The best French toast you've ever made. Eggs, just the right amount of milk to whip them together. Fry them with bacon grease. Mix in a little bit of cheese at just the right time. And then maybe a little more cheese. You fry the bacon just right. You don't burn the first batch, so the rest doesn't taste like charcoal. And so you're having this just great morning. You're ready for your family to come. And they come in and they're just bickering. And they're just loud unnecessarily. Or they're just ignoring you because they can't look at you until they've had their cup of coffee. And we've had this bubble of just enjoyment and happiness. And what ends up happening is I'm actually the one that bursts it. Come on, y'all. I made this amazing breakfast. Can't you just appreciate it? You've smelled it this whole time. It's been wafting throughout the house. I hope the rest of the house smells like this the rest of the day. Right? I've done this amazing thing, and now I've ruined it. At least what I tell myself is I'm the one that goes off. I'm the one that gets ticked, and so I'm the one that then bursts in frustration. Come on, family. Enjoy your breakfast, right? And we could think, man, I've just ruined the whole morning, right? I just changed the tone. There was this happiness space, at least within me, and I've the one that then changed it. And I've now ruined what was an amazing morning. And now everyone's got to walk on eggshells, maybe literally. around me and what's happening next. But might it be if we were to just to pause and we were to say, you didn't ruin it. Just shift it. Just change it. So I'm gonna pause and I'm gonna say, all right, family, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. The next word I'm gonna say is gonna be encouraging. The next question I'm gonna ask is gonna be curious. The next action that I take is just gonna be full of energy. It could feel awkward almost in the shift and like, well, is this like inauthentic? Nope, I'm just becoming different. I'm becoming that new self. And so maybe we have to literally say that out loud, like, oh, I didn't ruin it, but I'm going to shift this thing, family, right? Yeah. And so we decide to get up. We decide to shift. And so Deuteronomy 31 in verse 8, and this is where Moses is handing off leadership over to Joshua. And we talked a few times this morning about promises and the different scriptures that were given in this prayer time and here in the sanctuary. And the one I was given today says, God promises never to leave us. The Lord himself goes before you. This was randomly given to me. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. What does that one say? The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Coincidences, I don't think, are real. And so, this is Moses standing before the people he's led for the last 40-ish years. And even as they've grumbled and they've griped and they've turned their backs and they've even abandoned him seemingly at times, he is still their leader. And so then the next few chapters, he goes into speaking words over each different tribe of Israel. And then we get into Deuteronomy 34, starting in verse 1. So Moses is climbing a mountain from the plains of Moab. And it says, then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev, and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. Moses didn't get to go into the promised land, but he did still get to see it. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land I promised you on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor, but to this day no one knows where his grave is. Ooh. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. Maybe we'd 120 and still have the strength at them. Man, that'd be nice. I want to be like Moses when I grew up. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab, hear this, for 30 days, until the time of weeping and mourning was over. I saw that. So at some point, they had to accept that Moses, who had gone up to Moab, was not coming back, and Moses was no more. So what now? What do we do next? The guy that we have followed for 40 years isn't here. What are we supposed to do? And it was a moment of decision. The promised land was on the horizon. The promised land had been spoken of. They had heard about it. They're actually going to get to be the ones to walk into it. And don't get me wrong, there was still work ahead once they got there, but they knew that this was coming. And so where is it in life that maybe there's a promised land that might still be out there and that you are working towards, even if you feel like there's a weasel on it? We'll get to that in a moment. And so as they looked towards their future and what they were looking forward to, but in order to step into what was next, they had to leave behind what had happened. And that's not easy, right? So often we try to make things like they were. We get trapped in our memories of the past, reliving something we've lost or had to leave behind. Wishing we could go back to those days when, because they seem so comfortable, so familiar, so secure. This is called the good old day syndrome, where you have an idealized view of the past that keeps you from accepting your present reality and stepping into your future calling. And so often in life, what happens is we go through something and we're like, oh man, life is really good right now, and I would love to be able to stay here for a while. And then we step over here and say, man, I would love to be able to go back and live in that moment again. But what we forget about is all of the turmoil and all of the pain and all of the loss and all of the struggle and all the frustration that brought us to this point. Whether it's in those good old days or it's not, we can have this skewed view of, well, that was a great moment, I want to stay there forever. But forever is forward. So sometimes we have to leave Moses on the mountain. So they spent a month mourning Moses in Moab. It's a lot of Mo's. And they all ended at once. Perhaps we could say, no Mo. That was like a ripple effect through. That was fun. I can't claim credit. That was from the book directly. But the feeling of mourning was not over, and yet the moment and the time for mourning was. And so what does it look like when God is saying it's over? Perhaps God isn't saying it's over, get over it, stop crying, quit it, that's enough, move on. Quit whining, grow up. God is saying, sit in it, feel it, relative to whatever the situation is. There is a time for mourning, and when that time is over, are the feelings gone? No. But it is time to move. And that can feel again like as if we're abandoning what has been, or we're forgetting what has led us to this point, or the sacrifices that our family made to bring us to this elevated spot in life. But it's not an abandoning, it's a continuation. So we go from no mo to now move. In Matthew 8:22, Jesus is talking. He says, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. And this was a scripture that has always puzzled me. So God, aren't we supposed to honor the life of our loved ones? Aren't we supposed to be obedient to our mothers and fathers? Are we not supposed to care for these people, especially as they have passed on? That's a moment that's one of the most vulnerable. And it's helpful maybe when we look at that scripture to read it and says, don't let what is dead stop you from living. And so maybe it's time to move out of Moab, to stop looking for Moses who isn't coming back. And so maybe in an applicable way, it looks like stop reliving that season of your life that was awesome but is now over. Quit waiting for someone to apologize for hurting you. Stop fantasizing over the romance that did not work out. You've mourned long enough. It's time to move forward. Psalm 30, verse 5 applies to this, and it says, for his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning, and morning is coming. So then we're in Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. And what continues from here is then it says, now Joshua. So it says, Moses dies, he's buried, and we go through all these things until the time of mourning and weeping was over. Now Joshua. So sometimes it can look like we say, it's over now, period. That phase, that time, it's over now, period. What if we were to play with the punctuation a little bit? And we say, it's over, period. Now, what might be next? So we want to get rid of these weasels, these internal censors. What is it that you always go to as that mantra? What is that critical, self-deprecating, self-rejecting view of yourself? What is that? I could never blank. I have no business doing this. What if we were to silence that censor and believe in possibility that God continues to say, if you trust it with me, there is always a way. We got 8,810 promises. There is a way. Would you have the faith? Not that your faith would be the one to save you in this. And Scripture does talk about how faith does save, but we're talking about the object of our faith is the only reason we have faith at all. So check out this first picture of a weasel. There it is. A little bit of ferocity, a little bit of cute. I kind of want to nuzzle it behind the ears a little bit. Maybe let it crawl from one hand to the other across the shoulders. But weasels are not your friend. Check out this next picture. Woo! They're creepy looking. They're destructive. They sneak into gardens and they steal fruit before it's ready to harvest. When something is growing, it needs to be nurtured. And when we judge it, we interrupt that process. So whether it's ourselves being a weasel to ourselves or to other people, anybody want to be a weasel? Maybe the first picture for like somebody to scratch my head. But to know that in Scripture, Leviticus 11. So we'll go ahead and jump to that one here. Leviticus 11, it's talking about God's laying out the laws that the Israelites must now live with because they said that we can't live without these laws. So God gives them to them. And it says that there's, if it's a weasel, if it's a rat, if it's a lizard, and there might be one more that it says, and it talks about if those things fall or fall into your water pitcher or they fall or they touch these different things, they're unclean. But there's one or two things that it specifically says are still clean. It says if a carcass falls on any seeds that are to be planted, they remain clean. And that's because no matter whether you have planted that seed or not, God has put that seed in you. And if a weasel falls dead on it, the seed is still clean. The seed still has life within it. So whether it's our censoring and we're using weasels to censor our thoughts and our mentalities, and man, I can't do that, I'm not enough, we lay out these different thoughts. But seeds represent possibility, growth, and fruit. The seed is still clean. The seed still has life. The devil cannot take from you what God has put in you. And so we then use that seed and we say, okay, God, if you have put life within me, how do I then therefore live and move forward? I'm not going to be stuck. I'm not finished. I'm going to continue on. And so we can shift our question from what if this fails to what if it succeeds? What might take place? What it looks like is it's becoming a fuller version of you, and that is beautiful. And sometimes that looks like working on something only to throw it out, and that can be frustrating. Maybe it's a song, maybe you're a songwriter, and you write the song, and it's like, that's kind of a good line. It just doesn't quite mix, it doesn't quite fit. But then you find, but if I take that line and I put it in this song or with this piece, it just fits. And it can be frustrating to go through that process. It's not pretty, it's not polished, but I am becoming beautiful through it. And so if we say, what if, and we play the thought out, messing up is not as big of a deal as the enemy wants you to think. So play. Be creative. Dream. One of the things I hope to hear from you as we move into this time of listening, whether it's through the team or that night on August 18th, is that there might be dreams that have been put in you, and I so want to be a part of watering that, to help breathe life into, to remind you, hey, I'll pick up that weasel, and let's see what's underneath, because there's a whole lot in you. There's more in you than you know, and I cannot wait to watch and witness as you work in our community. One last scripture, Ecclesiastes 11, verse 6, and it's talking about this mentality, if you sow this, so that. if I sow our seed, so that this thing can take place. So Ecclesiastes 11, verse 6, sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let your hands not be idle. For you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. And so to believe there is purpose in our work, that there is potential in my seed, and I want to then live that out. So what is it that God has put in you? What is it that you have hidden away? What is it that you have dampened down? What is it that you have even intentionally left that dead carcass of a weasel upon in order to be able to live life in the way that you know it? There's a new you. There's a new self that's been knocking for a while. And so give God the mistakes of today and ask Him to make them wisdom for our future. And let's turn to gratitude. Church family, if you would you stand and we will conclude and pray and dismiss. With God, there is always a way, and by faith, I will find it. Jesus, thank you for your promises. Would we go and read about them? Maybe we find them in our Bible that we take with us on our camping trip this week. Or maybe we are going to go and Google it and say, God, what are the promises that you speak? God, to believe that there is potential, not just to live with positivity, and that can be helpful, but God, to live intentionally, to know that there is a faithful person inside of me that I want to let out, that I want to unveil, that I want to then become. Who are you not reinventing us to be, but to continuating in how we are developing and becoming the person that you would have us be, to speak that word, to speak that forgiveness, to receive that whatever it might be, that question. God, we want to be followers. We want to be on fire for you. But God, ultimately, we want to be surrendered to you, and we want to serve our people. We want to serve our family. We want to serve our community. We want to do that by sowing into them so that we can minister and share the good news of Jesus with every person that we touch and we come into contact with. Thank you that you're faithful. Thank you that you're good. And as we get out of here, church family, let's just say amen. Amen. Grateful you were with us today. Be sure to subscribe and rate us so other people can know about the podcast. Join us on a Sunday morning in Fairmount or find our live stream on YouTube, our website, fairmountfriends.church, or our church app on Tithely. See you soon.